Welcome to the Bayside Church Weekly Message Audio Podcast, Cheltenham.
The title of the message today, if you are taking your own notes, is The Pursuit of Purity. Matthew chapter 5, which is the Beatitudes, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And next year we're going to do a series on the Beatitudes. But let's just read them right now. We're going to focus on one of them in particular. Let's pick it up from verse 1, Matthew 5. Now when he saw the crowds, Jesus went up onto a mountainside and sat down. And the disciples came to him and he began to teach them. And he taught them what we call, the Beatitudes or the blessings. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, or falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And some of the translations, especially some of the more modern translations, the word blessed here is sometimes translated as happy. And that's certainly part of blessed, but it doesn't stop there. Happy would be a very superficial translation of this word. The word blessed here refers to an inner joy and peace that comes out of being in right relationship with God. So I'm in right standing or right relationship with God because Jesus is my Savior, and there is an inner joy, an inner peace that no one can take away and no situation can take away. And when we live out who we are in Christ in practical ways every day, we are blessed. We are filled with an inner joy and peace that comes from being right with God. One that I want to focus on this morning, the beatitude that we want to focus on, is in verse 8, where it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." The Message Bible puts it this way: you're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and heart, put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. The word pure there, blessed are the pure in heart, is the Greek word katharos. We get a couple of English words from that. One of them is catharsis, which is something when you're looking at something or experiencing something, you experience a catharsis, a cleansing of the emotions. It's particularly used in relation to art. A couple of Saturday nights ago, four of our artists here at Bayside were on this part of the platform here, and together the four of them produced three separate pieces of artwork that were also beautiful, in beautiful unity together. There was to demonstrate, and you would have seen it here on a Sunday morning, and we auctioned it off at the trivia night, and I believe it went for $1,000 or just over $1,000 toward the trivia night. Wasn't that just wonderful? And beautiful artwork, three distinct pieces, but they all had a common theme through them, and it was a demonstration of the truth from Ecclesiastes, where it talks about a threefold cord being not easily broken. So husband, wife, and Jesus. So three distinct personalities, but woven together. And during worship, our artists were doing that artwork, and I was just standing here and watching them and worshiping the Lord at the same time, and I experienced katharos or catharsis. I felt my emotions stirred and cleansed, and you can experience that same thing in lots of different ways. Each of us have a way that we experience katharos, or maybe several ways. I find looking at art is one of them. Looking at the beach, wasn't the bay beautiful on Friday? Just this beautiful blue sky, sunshine, and a magnificent sunset over Port Phillip Bay. And I was looking at that, and I experienced katharos. Listening to music, I've got 6.2 days worth of music on my iPhone. I love music. I've got to say here, not all of the music on my iPhone do I love, because I have children. And some of it, Gigi and I enjoy a lot of the same sort of music, which is great. But so do Paris and I. But some of it on my iPhone is especially for Trinity. And I've got to fess up this morning, I have the entire Barbie album on my iPhone. And Everybody Needs a Ken. That's one of the songs. And I have the Frozen, Everyone Needs a Ken. I have the Frozen soundtrack, you know. Let it go. But I have a lot of my own music as well. And depending on what mood I am, I will listen to a particular playlist that I've put together and I experience katharos or catharsis. Another English word that we get from katharos is cathartic. And if you've ever used a cathartic, you will know exactly what you use a cathartic for. It's like a laxative. It's something, a substance that accelerates the emptying of the bowels. And I won't go into a lot of detail about that, but if you've ever had constipation, and understanding that constipation is found in the Bible as well, the first case of constipation in the Bible was when Moses took two tablets and headed for the hills. That's all about cleansing, and you experience a cleansing within when you take a cathartic. That's taken from this Greek word katharos. And so a katharos, blessed are the katharos, or the purified of heart, because when the muck is taken away and we've been purified, it's the muck that stops us from seeing God clearly. But when we are purified, we can see God. Now, there's two types of purity that we as Christians have. One of them is what I'll call a positional purity, and the other is a practical purity. Let me just comment on both of those quickly. A positional purity is who we are because of Jesus. When we accept Jesus as our Savior, all of our sin, all of the muck that blocks our relationship with God is taken away, and positionally then, in Christ, we become the pure of heart. We can see God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, it says, God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, that word righteousness simply means to be in right relationship with God. My sin blocked me from relationship with God, but when Jesus took my sin away, I became purified so I could have a relationship with him. Let me just demonstrate this to you. Last night, Hattie Issa was Jesus. This morning, Marco. Why don't you come and be Jesus? I know, huge shoes to fill, but this is what I want you to see this morning. Okay, this is my black bag, all right? You can just stand there. It's my black bag that I bring my Bible and notes to church most weekends. So I thought I would use this as an example because it's black. And it's and obviously sin is black. It's pretty dark, obviously. And this is mine, okay? This is my sin. And this is what blocks me from having a relationship with God. And then when I was younger, I decided, after I'd heard about Jesus, that what I'd heard was right. And so I accepted Jesus as my Savior. I received him. And at that point, an exchange took place. God made him who had no sin to be sin for me. And so an exchange took place. Thank you, Jesus. He now has my sin. I'm sin free. How good is that? And so what was blocking my relationship with him has been taken away. I am pure of heart because Jesus has borne my sin for me. And Jesus, you can now take my sin away and cast it as far as the east is from the west, please. That's positional purity. That's who I am in Christ. That's who you are in Christ. And so remember that and say on a regular basis, thank you, God, that I am pure of heart. I get to see you. But then there's a practical purity as well. That is living out our purity every day in practical ways. That's what Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. He says, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. And so out of reverence, out of respect, for God and who He is and what He has done and what He continues to do, we make a choice every day to make sure that we purify ourselves from everything that could contaminate our body or everything that could contaminate our spirit. Use that scripture as a filter in everyday life. Our attitudes, our thoughts, our words, our actions. We need to run them through that. Is this going to contaminate my body or spirit? And if it is, then I'm not going to engage in that because I want to live out the purity that I have in Christ in a practical way every day. Now, I want to emphasize right here, and this is really important because in preaching a message like this, we can say, oh, wow, you know, I'm so far from living a pure life because I know myself and I fall and I trip up on a regular basis. And I just want to say to you, if you're thinking that right now, you're in good company because we all do. Purity of heart does not mean sinlessness of life. When you come to Jesus, he starts a process. The Bible calls it sanctification, in which we progressively become more and more and more like Jesus. And so we're growing in Him and we're changing in Him, but we won't experience total perfection this side of heaven. And so don't beat yourself up when you allow some impurity into your life. You just need to learn how to deal with it in a correct way. And so just on that, as I finish up this message, I want to very quickly give you 7 things that you can write down. Not going to spend a lot of time on this, in the pursuit of purity. How can I live practically a pure life every day? Number one is admit your impurity. Whoops. Admit your impurity. Go back to Matthew 5 and the Beatitudes, and I just want to show you the progression of thought that Jesus is demonstrating here in his statements. There's a progression of purity. Matthew 5, and starting at verse 3, he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I want you to notice there, he's talking about poor in spirit. A poverty of spirit is being aware of how much we need Jesus. It was poverty of spirit, realizing that I was a sinner, that I had fallen short in my life, that I needed the forgiveness of God. That was the first step toward purity in coming to Jesus. And so blessed are the poor in spirit. The next one is blessed are those who mourn. Now, this is really important because it's one thing to realize that you need a Savior. It says, yep, I've sinned in life. I've broken the laws of God. I've blown it. But the next step is actually mourning for that. Just go, wow, I've mucked up and I'm really sorry. Blessed are those who mourn. They will be comforted. The next is blessed are the meek. They will inherit the earth. The meek. That means that no matter who you are or how great you are at anything or what position you hold in life or whatever, that when you demonstrate meekness, it means that you humbly come to God to address the need that you have. So you're poor in spirit, you're sorry that you have sinned, and then your pride doesn't stop you from coming to the Lord. You meekly come to Him for forgiveness. And then the next one is in verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And so that's the last step in this progression toward purity. I feel sorry. I have sinned. I feel sorry that I have sinned. My pride is not going to stop me from coming to Jesus because I hunger and thirst to be in right standing with God. So I'm going to come to Him. And then when we do that, He purifies us from all sin. So the first thing we have to do is admit our impurity. Purity starts with honesty. Purity starts with a declaration of, I don't have it all together. I fall, I sin, I make mistakes. That's why I need Jesus. John talks about this in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. He says, if we say we are without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, and that word confess there means to agree with. So when we confess our sins, we agree with God that what we've done is wrong. So there's humility there. If we confess our sins, then God acts. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, and then secondly, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that happens every time we come to Him, when we've blown it in some way, we come to Him, we agree with Him that what we've done is wrong, and on the basis of our agreement with Him, He says, I forgive you, and then I also cleanse you, I purify you. I wash that away. You could go back to Him 5 minutes later if you'd done the same thing again and say, God, I just did the same thing again, and He'd say, did what again? Because He's already forgiven it and has already washed it away. And that's, we need a revelation of that. So number one, admit your impurity. Number two, pray for purity. Pray, make it your prayer. That's what King David did after he made one of the biggest mistakes of his life. When he was up on the flat roof of the palace one night, palace would have been the highest building. He was looking down on another building and there was a lady there who was, I don't know whether she was named after what she was doing, but she was having a bath. And her name was Bathsheba. And she was having a bath, and David should have just looked and went, whoa, and walked away. But he didn't. He lingered a little longer than he should have done. And one thing goes to another. And of course, if you read the story in the Old Testament, he ended up committing adultery and then murdering her husband. And then Nathan the prophet comes to David and nails him on what he had done. And out of that experience, David prays a prayer. You can read the whole prayer. It's actually a song in Psalm 51. And part of Psalm 51 is a prayer for purity. He says in verse 10, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me, a spirit that's strong and determined to live a pure life. Create in me a pure heart. What a great prayer that is. Make that your prayer. I make it mine. Number three, memorize and meditate on the Word of God. Psalm 119, verses 9 to 11. The psalmist here asks a question. He says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? And then he gives the answer. And there's a twofold answer. Number one is living according to your word. And number two, he says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. There's amazing power in this book. And I encourage you, no matter what age you are, to make sure that you spend regular time, systematic time in the Word of God. When I came to Jesus as a young man, I started a discipline of reading through the Word every day, and I used to read the whole Bible every year, just over and over and over and over and over. And as I read it, it would remind me of the standard that God expected me to live in practical purity every day of my life. And then I would meditate. I've meditated on it and then memorized scripture. I've memorized quite a lot of the Word of God. So it's in my heart. It's on the inside of me so that I won't sin against Him. The Bible has an amazing cleansing property. Just reading it, even if you're not understanding everything you're reading, Ephesians 5:26 talks about what Jesus does to the church. And we looked at this a couple of weeks ago in part one of this series, but it says, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word. The Word of God washes us. It's like having a bath or having a shower. It cleanses and it purifies. Number four, watch your words and attitudes. So important. Philippians 2, verses 14, 15. Paul says, do everything without complaining or arguing. Whoa. Let's just stop there for a moment. Do everything without complaining or arguing. I'm not there yet. How about you? There's times I find myself complaining. There's times I find myself arguing. I shared with you a couple of Sundays ago when I was preaching on husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, and preached it on Saturday night, and Christy and I went home and had an argument. It was good, you know. It was great. We talked it through, worked it through. And it's all good now. She's in Indonesia. And I believe she's coming back this Friday. In time for the marriage seminar. And so do everything without complaining or arguing, and then look at those two words, so that you may become blameless and pure. This is a highly practical scripture that we could use to meditate on every day, and we can take this into every aspect of our lives. We can teach this to our children. Children, do everything without complaining or arguing. But we can also apply that in our relationships, our friendships, in our workplaces, in every aspect of our lives, doing everything without complaining or arguing so that we become blameless and pure. We have to watch our words and our attitudes. Jesus, when he was on the planet in human form, one of the main things that he came up against was opposition from religious people who thought that being right with God was all about obeying rules and regulations, and it was all about the externals. One day the religious leaders came to Jesus and made an accusation against him about his disciples who apparently didn't wash their hands before they'd eaten. Obviously, they hadn't listened to their mothers. Your disciples don't wash their hands. And Jesus said, you know, you need to get a revelation of this, and I'm obviously paraphrasing. You need to get a revelation of what corrupts a human spirit. It's not what goes into you that contaminates you. It's what comes out of you that contaminates you. Jesus said it's your words, it's your thoughts, it's your attitudes that lead to wrong actions that end up contaminating the human spirit and making it unclean. So watch your words and attitudes. Number five, watch what you watch. It matters what we look at, church, whether that's a book, a magazine, a TV show, a movie, or something online. If you're struggling with an addiction in some way, particularly in what you watch, then put some things in place. And the next step will be very helpful for you on this. If you're struggling with what you watch on the internet, get an internet filter that blocks out things that you shouldn't see. Because what we see stirs up things in our minds, and this is where the battle goes on. And if we don't control that, we think about it, and then eventually we will act it out in real life. And so we need to watch what we watch. Psalm 101 verse 3, the psalmist said, I will refuse to look at anything vile or vulgar. Use that as a filter for what you allow yourself to see. Number six, find a faithful friend. This is so important. Find a faithful friend. If you need some help in the area of purity, find a faithful friend who can hold you accountable. I think we all need at least one person like that in our lives. Someone that we can share everything with. Someone that knows the worst about us but loves us anyway. And someone who is confidential, who's not a gossip. You know, there's certain people, if you want to get things out, you know who to tell. You tell them and the next thing, the whole thing's spread all over the place. But you don't tell people like that things that you want to hold confidential. I said to one of my girls yesterday, because we were talking about this whole thing, and I said, you know, I will take so many secrets to the grave that people have shared with me over the years. If you tell me something, it doesn't go further unless you've broken the law. Okay? That's a little disclaimer there. As a church, by the way, we have mandatory reporting, particularly when it comes to pedophilia or child abuse in any way. So if someone tells me something like that, it does not stay in the confessional. And for very good reason. But everything else we need to be confidential on. James 5:16 talks about the healing power that is found when we share our sins with a faithful friend. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. There are certain things in life, particularly addictions, that you will not be able to overcome on your own. If you found yourself with an addiction at different times, and I certainly have at various times in my own life, and you struggle with it, and then you confess it, and then you promise God that you won't do it again, and then you trip up in that same area, and there's a cycle. You can't break that without having a faithful friend to hold you accountable. That's the James 5:16 principle. And then finally, number seven, get up when you fall down. Get up when you fall down. So important. Because it's so easy, isn't it? Oh, I've tripped up again. Why bother? I'm just going to stay down. I'm going to have a pity party now. I'm going to invite myself. Actually going to enjoy it for a while. It's hopeless, pointless, meaningless. When we trip, get up. Micah 7:8, rejoice not over me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. Back in the 90s, a group called Chumbawamba had a song called Tub Thumping. You remember that? Okay. I get knocked down, but I get up again. Nobody gonna keep me down. I get knocked down, but I get up again. Nobody gonna keep me down. Then it gets all weird. It talks about various drinks, and then they sing, Don't Cry For Me, Argentina, and all sorts of stuff. I was listening to the song yesterday, and then for the rest of the day, I had Don't Cry For Me, Argentina going through my head, which was really annoying, but it was better than Everybody Needs a Ken. So when you get knocked down, get up again. Just make that that little line your theme song. That's what we've done with our kids over the years when they learned to walk. Now, this didn't apply to Gigi. When Gigi didn't learn to walk till she was 18 months old, and we were actually a little bit concerned about her for a while because she was doing like a crab crawl and was very happy just crab crawling all over the place. And she was 18 months old, and Christy and I were out for dinner, and we'd left Gigi with Christy's mum and dad, who were out here from Ireland at the time. And about 9 o'clock, we were heading home, and we thought, okay, they'll have Gigi in bed. And we walked in, and Gigi was still up. And so here's this little 18-month-old doing the crab crawl around the floor. And we're sitting there, myself and Christy and George and Hazel, just having a little chat. And suddenly Gigi gets up and walks. Not just one or two steps, 64 steps. She got up and she goes like this and gets to the wall and goes and turns around and goes, I've got the whole thing on video. It's one of those really big videos, those old ones that we used to have in those massive video cameras back in those days. And one day I'll get that all put onto DVD and I'll bring it in here and show you when Gigi's here just to really embarrass her. And she did that, 64 steps, and she's been walking ever since. But Paris and Trinity, when they learned to walk, Paris, if I'm embarrassing you a little bit here, but she got up and there was a couple of little wobbly steps and then she fell down again. And I said, you stupid child. You'll never amount to anything. You'll never walk. No, of course I didn't. Some of you are looking at me very worried. Sorry, Della. She was like, what an awful parent. No, of course. Look, I was just thrilled that she'd taken a couple of steps, and the same with Trinity. It's like, whoa, look at this. You spend, a whole year getting your kids to walk and talk and then the rest of their life telling them to shut up and sit down. So take a couple of steps and they fall over, and as a good parent, you just go to your child and you pick them up and you dust them off and you have another go. And if I'm like that as an imperfect human being, how much more is our Heavenly Father going to be like that with you and me? Amen. Great news. And so when you fall down, and we all do, don't stay down. Get up. See God saying, not you, idiot, because He's a loving Father. See God saying, it's okay, child. Get up. Dust you off, forgive you, cleanse you. Let's go for this again. Amen. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Let's pray together. Let's just allow the Word of God to settle into our hearts right now. I just want you to see yourself as God sees you. If Jesus is in your life, He sees you as pure. So I want you just to meditate on that for a moment. Say, thank you, God, I'm pure in heart because of Jesus. And if you've got some area of unconfessed sin, why don't you just confess that to Him right now? Just agree with Him. Don't try and rationalize it. Don't beat yourself up with it. Just bring it to Him. Confess it right now. And on the basis of your confession, the Bible says that God has now forgiven you and He has cleansed you from all unrighteousness. As far as the east is from the west, He has removed your transgression from you. I want you to notice there, it doesn't say north to south, that's measurable, north pole to south pole. East to west is an immeasurable distance. That's how far He's removed your transgression from you. Just feel the presence of God washing you clean, strengthening you, encouraging you, blessing you, filling you. Refresh every heart, Lord, in this place, I pray. All those who are watching this service online, refresh them, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Create in us a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within us. Thank you, You've placed within us a heart of flesh. You've taken out of us the heart of stone. The hard heart is gone. The soft, malleable heart is on the inside of us so that You can change us and transform us from glory to glory into the image of the Lord. We thank You for the process of sanctification, that each and every day we're becoming more and more and more like You. And today, Lord God, we commit ourselves afresh, that out of our position of purity in You, that each day we will live in practical purity in every aspect of our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this weekly message audio podcast. If you'd like to listen to more messages and find out more information, check out our website at www.baysidechurch.com.au. Church has changed. Check it out.